Tell me what you like.
I like when you tell me what to do.
I know that.
I'm Milling About with Scott Cohn, and he is starring in the feeling that the time for doing something has passed. I have a feeling that's the longest movie title in the history of movies.
It's funny because I just saw a poster. Do you remember Greg Sargent from New Paltz?
Of course, yeah.
So Greg Sargent, who is a fantastic actor, is often, for some reason, I don't think he doesn't live in Paris, but he goes to Paris a lot and he performs in Paris a lot with this theater company that he's involved in. So Greg Sargent sent me this poster from Paris of the title that is completely different. And the title there is, in translation, it's The Life of Anne, or The Life According to Anne. And so it's a lot different than the feeling that the time for doing something has passed. But yes,
much
it's
better.
It's one of the longest titles ever.
Not great for social media. All your characters are done.
Yeah, it's that hashtag the feeling that.
Exactly. So Scott, I think the first scene of this movie is the craziest thing I've ever seen too. So talk about, there are so many underlying messages here about the way women are treated. And all the misogyny that is still going on between men and women. That's what I got from it.
Well, I think that I think the movie itself really is exploring in a very kind of concise, humorous way, sexual identity desires or needs of a person and how they kind of move through their life, trying to not allow the dictates of another to overwhelm what they are choosing to do in their life. And I think that, you know, the misogyny, I mean, I don't see it as much as misogyny as much as I see it. It is a role play and it, you know, these are, you can say almost like characters that people play in these scenarios, in BDSM scenarios. And I'm completely speaking out of turn because I'm not involved in BDSM scenarios, but the
you
little
did your
I know
homework,
about
though,
it,
I'm sure.
I did some homework about it. And, from what I feel and discovered and kind of understand is that people, you know, these are stories that people play out because they can't play them out in their everyday lives. And so it's a very safe environment. So it's like, you know, people get treated the way they want to be treated for whatever reason that they want to be treated that way. But that it's very safe within that context, how people kind of live outside that context, which is actually explored in the film, kind of somebody who's trying to explore something outside of the context of being in these relationships. That don't really work for her.
So for those of you haven't seen the film yet, she is completely stark naked, all of her, and you are fully clothed.
For the most part. That was her decision, not my decision. I actually said, hey, don't you think I should be naked too? And she says no. And that was, you know, this is how she saw it. She saw that, you know, her being without clothes was almost like a costume for her. And so it was as if this is just who she is. And we should get used to it very early on in the film, as if, you know, it's the first thing you see. So if you're, you can get shocked, but then you're living with it for, you know, for an hour and a half. So it's not, you know, it's not that shocking after an hour. So it's just like, okay. And that's how she sees, that's her vision. That's how she sees making her movies.
So we've known each other a really long time. We know each other from college. I don't recall seeing you naked in a movie. And if I did, I would die.
I have been naked in movies. I've been naked in plays.
It's like I would feel like your mother seeing you naked in a movie.
That's hysterical, Robin. I mean, for me, it's more of a statement right? It's more of a, you know, it's not just like, hey, I'm naked. It's not like, for me, it would be much more of a statement. And I would prepare quite a lot for that to happen. Because I'm much more self-conscious than Joanna is. But I've done it and I've had fun doing it for the reasons that I'm doing it. I mean, you know, it's like, I don't think I'd just like, you know, parade around naked because I'm proud of the way I look. I don't think it's quite like that.
You look great.
Yeah.
What was the first time? Like, what was that like? I can't even begin to imagine.
Being naked?
Yeah, being naked in a movie, well, on a movie screen.
Well, being naked on a movie screen was a sex scene. So you're very involved in something, right? So it's not like you're much more involved in the process of making the scene, of doing the scene. The one time I felt I wasn't even self-conscious about it. It was just fun to do, was in a play that I did at Naked Angels many, many years ago.
No pun intended.
Yeah, exactly. That's so funny. I never even thought about it like that. And that was a play by Terrence McNally, and I was naked. I played a male prostitute, and believed that I was, like, at the time, you remember Marky Mark, who's no longer Marky Mark. I tried to be like Marky Mark. And that was literally like full frontal nudity. Yeah.
Good for you.
There you go. Good for you.
So what, Scott? What
my was your... my mother didn't see that play. Anyway, okay. Go on.
How does your wife feel? If I was your wife, I don't know if I would love it either.
Yeah, Anna has always had a kind of, you know, the business is the business. You know, she enjoys watching whatever is the experience everyone else experiences, and maybe a little bit more. So she kind of becomes like a voyeur in a certain sense of what is going on. She has never had a problem with it whatsoever.
I like her.
Yes, she's very commendable. Very, very commendable.
So what was your first big break? I know you've done a lot since college. We both graduated, what, in 1982, around there, yeah?
I was four, yeah, 84.
Okay. So what was your first big break, would you say?
I would say, so after college, I mean, I was working pretty consistently, just nothing huge. Doing lots of plays. I did a lot of commercials. I did movies, some TV. And then in 88, I did a play in Williamstown that I would say was probably a big leap. It was an Arthur Miller play called The American Clock and directed by Austin Pendleton. And that just kind of catapulted me to a kind of new level of attention. It was a great character. So that was that. And then I would say that filmically, when I did, like in the mid-90s, I did a Law and Order that kind of really pushed me over the top as well. That was like a three
episode.
That's
like every actor's rite of passage, yeah?
Yeah, totally. And I did their only one that was three episodes. It was like three episode arc, and it was so much fun, and I think that kind of put me over the top too, and then kind of after that, kind of consistently, things that just kind of grew and got bigger, and I did this huge mini series that was a science fiction, a fantasy mini series that really kind of like, which has had an enormous kind of global impact, and that's kind of remained to be something that's been huge, and Gilmore Girls, which was definitely something that still remains to have impact, and everybody seems to remember. And
are you recognized on the street by tweens or, you know, teens?
From older people to younger people, thank God for the internet, because, you know, for streaming, because it's very alive. People watch it all the time. It's amazing. it just the fan base just seems to grow. It doesn't, you know, deteriorate. I wish my residual checks were reflective of the fan base. They're not. So I'd say that's pretty much what it was.
What was that commercial that you did? I love when actors do commercials. It cracks me up.
I did a ton of commercials, a lot of commercials. At one point I counted 50. And I remember the first one I did, which was, I remember actually in 1991, my wife actually said, why don't you go, you know, why don't you just see if they're interested in you for commercials? And I said, no one will ever hire me for a commercial. I'm too urban. I'm too dark. I'm too this and too this. And this agent, who's her agent, said, yeah, we'll send you out a couple of things. And my very, very first audition, I go in, it was for a car commercial, for a Hyundai car commercial by this incredibly famous commercial director, this guy named Jeff Lovinger. And I walked into the audition. I was reading the book. And I was like so disinterested. I walk into the audition. They look at me, and that was it. And the next day, I booked it. It was incredible. And then I remember walking on set, and I shot literally. It took the whole day. It took 45 minutes. I was like, I walked on set. He told me, sit on this. It was like a dolly, like a camera dolly. He said, sit on the dolly and like look in the camera, then look outside of the camera, and that was it. And I made so much money, it was ridiculous. And then I did, you know, orange juice commercials. I did car commercials. I did a bunch of Volkswagen commercials.
I would have screamed if I saw you in a commercial.
Oh my God, I did my Volkswagen commercial. There were two of them. One was really brilliant. I mean, they were both brilliant, but one was like, I shot in the Southwest, and I think it was mainly for Canada. I'm not really sure. I forget. And then there was another one that won all these Clio awards. It was like, I shot in New Orleans, and it's like two cars going down the road. There was there's me, and then there's a woman in the next car, and we're like flirting, and then you see this little toy get flown from the back seat. You see my kid in the back seat, and so the flirt kind of gets disrupted by this little kid. And so that won like all these Clio awards, which is really fun. And then I did toothpaste commercials. I was naked, half naked, and Annie. You remember Annie Says?
Oh yeah.
I did an Annie Says commercial, which I remember. I walked into an audition for an Annie Says commercial, and literally, I don't think they could do this anymore. They said, "Take off your shirt," right? And I was like, "Oh, okay." And I took off my shirt, just stood there. They're like, "Okay, thank you," and that was it. And booked that commercial. Fantastic commercial. I remember one, I think it was this Volkswagen one actually, with the woman in New Orleans, where I remember my son was being born, and we had like no money, and I booked this commercial, this car commercial, and it was like, oh my God, it was such like I knew money would be coming in. No, commercials were very, 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 very good to me.
Yeah. So is your son following in your footsteps? Is he acting?
No, he's a scientist. He's a physicist.
Whoa. I'm impressed. Wow. He didn't go to New Falls.
He didn't go to he went to MIT. And then
Do
he went.
Do you know, Scotty, we could not get into New Falls now if we begged.
I know. I heard it's very hard, actually. Yeah.
Oh, forget about it.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. I know. It's terrible. Oh, well, we had our time.
Oh, it was the best. So he went to MIT.
He went to MIT, and then he went and say he did grad school at UC Santa Barbara, where he's at. He got his PhD a couple months ago. And then he's there. He works in a lab there.
Oh, how gorgeous. So this is something I didn't know about you. You're a piano player. Did you dabble in that your whole life and professionally do it?
The reason I went to New Paltz was because I thought I wanted to do it professionally, but I really wasn't interested in practicing. I wasn't a very good practicer. And I studied classical like from 5 years old to like 17. And then I kind of got into jazz, but I didn't stay in the jazz idiom for long enough to really kind of understand what I could do. But I play still, and I take lessons every once in a while with people, and I try to kind of learn more. It's a little frustrating because I feel like I'm much better than, like, my understanding of music is much better than my actual my capabilities of playing. But I enjoy it quite a lot, and I have a beautiful, very old piano that sits in my house and doesn't get played nearly enough.
Nice. So you come from a musical family, yeah?
Yeah, very, very musical family. My father was a jazz musician. My oldest brother is a classical clarinetist. I have three nephews that are classical musicians. And everybody in the family played an instrument at some point. So we were all kind of musically trained.
You should have taken it on the road.
Yeah, no, I know, right? The Coens. We would have been a huge success.
So you mentioned streaming. Also, it's on right now on The Girls on the Bus. Yay.
Yes. That was a fantastic experience. I mean, the best part of it was working with Carla Cugino, who I had always been a fan of. And she was ultra sweet, ultra great. Such a generous actor, and hard worker, really focused. She made it really, really wonderful. Yeah, and I don't know if it's going more or it's just for the for like the campaign kind of time. I'm not exactly sure, but yeah. I mean, and I also feel like it's such a great story about four women that are trying to make it in journalism and being, you know, the whole where Amy Chudzik's book, which is taken from, it's such an interesting story of someone who just completely idolizes or gets so wrapped up in a campaign, and just gets destroyed by, you know, I mean, when Hillary lost and that really destroyed her. But yeah, it's a really interesting show.
I did a completely different tour busing thing with rock bands. So I think that would be a really fun show to do. Although Daisy and the Six did it, I feel, with their.
Yeah, I think that was like a tour, but like they were like fans, right?
Yes. Yeah. But it's like the nostalgia of The Girls on the Bus is so wonderful.
Yeah, I agree. And also what it is to be in the social media world and how that works in terms of journalism and what everybody, you know, there are people who feel like, you know, it should just remain what it has always been, and some people feel like it should move on to, you know, new and different mediums. And so it's a debate, and I think in some ways a dilemma, but it's pretty interesting.
I want to know how you got all your followers on Instagram. You have like a zillion followers and I have four.
No, I don't know. They just, I'm loved the world over. What are you going to do?
You're so famous.
There are people that have so much more than me. Instagram is weird. It's like, I mean, I actually love it, but sometimes you like, there's no action. And then sometimes there's lots of action. Sometimes it all depends. Like if somebody follows you that has like millions of followers, then, you know, you get attached to that and somehow you get lots from that. When like the Batman, the Penguin series, I'm sure, you know, when just the trailer came out, I got a lot more from that. So I'm expecting when that comes out to have a bump, Instagram followers. I'm telling you now, bump me up.
I am so excited for you. First of all, Colin Farrell is like the bomb. When I saw what he looked like in this role, unbelievable.
Yeah, unbelievable. And I actually never saw him out of costume. So, I mean, he showed up like 4 o'clock in the morning or whatever, 3 o'clock in the morning, got costume and had wardrobe, makeup and hair. And then he came on set as the Penguin. And then it's so funny because I started to watch the Apple show Sugar.
I love that show.
I know. It's like he's really Colin Farrell. And you're like, wait a minute. That's Colin Farrell. And he's such a sweet guy. He's like so nice. You know, and then he's like coming. He's like, hey, how you doing? How you doing? It's like, and he's like, he's the Penguin. And he's like, you know, hey, how you doing? It's like, okay. But yeah, he was so cool, man. And I think that's going to be a really killer show. It's going to be really great. Really great.
Do you have scenes with him?
Yeah, totally.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool. Do tell. Can you give
I don't
away a
think I
little
can.
bit?
I don't know. I don't think, I mean, I signed an NDA. It was like I was, sworn to secrecy about everything about that show. It's really tight. You're not allowed to say anything. Not allowed to give away anything.
But he is dressed as a penguin. We know that.
He's dressed as the Penguin.
The penguin. And you are dressed as.
I am,
Bless
excuse
you.
me. Thank you. I am dressed as I'm a gangster. I'm a mafioso.
That's all
I
you
like,
can say.
yeah. No, I play. So if you remember John Turturro's character in the movie, who dies in the movie, I play his brother, and I take over the. So the show starts, kind of at the end of the movie, and so I've taken over the family business.
Interesting. Did you talk to John about this?
I did not talk to John about it, but I kind of, but I was, it's actually very funny because I was, they really wanted me to sound like John, right? But I was like, I can't sound like John. I mean, I'll use, but I watched every movie that John Turturro has been in. I mean, like every single movie.
I
I mean,
love it.
he'd never know this, but it's he so I tried to kind of just get, a little bit more Queensy than because he's very Queensy. And so I was just very, from Queens. And so I tried to do that and had a good time doing it, but I had more of a good time just watching his movies. I actually thought that was really fun. And I was a different cat. I was a different person. It was like he was a very, he was a different character than I was.
I am so impressed how many famous actors came out of New Paltz.
Yeah, a
It was
lot, right?
unreal.
I
Yes.
know Michael Badalucco, Todd Taylor, who's cast in, everything. Adore him. John and Michael and Aida.
And you?
Now I forget his name. Lenny, I'm forgetting Lenny's last name. He's an actor and he's also a screenwriter. Really good screenwriter. I did a reading of his movie not too long ago. He's really great. And Greg Sargent and Danny Paul
Oh,
and
yes. Love Danny Paul. Glenn Heroy.
Glenn Heroy and
And the two of you started clowning together, yeah?
yeah, well, no, we didn't. He did it before me.
Oh,
He
okay.
was doing stuff before me. He's amazing. Yeah, lots of people. Seth Rosenfeld.
That's right. That's right. I wonder what it was. Any thoughts?
New York people.
There you go. Yeah. And a great
It's
teacher.
like my father. It's like my father went to DeWitt Clinton, right, in the Bronx. The amount of fame, the amount of star power that came out of DeWitt Clinton in the 30s and the 40s and the 50s, Nobel Prize winners, Pulitzer Prize winners, Tony winner. I mean, it's just crazy. So, I just think it's kind of, it was a transmigration from New York to New Paltz and back.
It was like lightning in a bottle because
Lightning in a bottle.
that's going to be the headline.
New Paltz, lightning in a bottle from 1978 to 1987. Cindy Katz went to New Paltz.
Do you still keep in touch with people?
I don't. I don't.
You're
I
too
don't.
famous now.
No. I just, I don't. Just
Well,
people move on. Just, life is life.
but that's the good thing about Facebook because we're still in touch and we're, you
You
know.
can keep in touch. Yes. I am. I'm on some. Christopher Turnquist has had, he set up or something like that. There's like a theater, like in a certain amount of years, there's a theater. I look at that every once in a while, check in with that.
Nice. Where are you exactly? You look like you're in a.
I'm in my house in upstate New York. I'm in my barn that's being renovated by me at the moment. This is Anna's like studio. She does glass sculpture, so she
nice. She does all
this stuff. Yeah.
Very nice. So you stayed upstate for the most part.
Yeah, we became permanent. We got rid of our apartment a couple of years ago. We made the journey.
Nice, nice. So Scott, it was really fun getting this time to catch up.
Yeah, really fun, Robin. Thanks for asking.
Of course, and come on again. Come on when the Penguin opens, so you could talk about it.
Just tell me when. Be happy to do it.
I feel like I would like to find someone to be with.
This is very troubling.
I worry about being alone.
Oh.
Always news.
Always refreshing.
Always candid.
Always milling about.
Robin Milling delivers what celebrities are saying to you. To you.